Intervju Radija Študent.
Face down in the gutter, won't admit defeat, though his clothes are soiled and black. He's a big, strong man with a child's mind. Don't you take his boots away. Hey! He's a heritage amongst the mates.
Hey, hey, hey!
But inside he cries back, swollen eyes. This man is shed no tears. Now his wife and kids in a different zone. They worry about their dad who died.
Hey, hey, hey!
This arrogant fool makes a big or a bean of them up by their dues. Hey, listen, now he won't pet, so she wrote a big tale before the daylight shines. But the thoughts and prayers
of a million strong
keep this man from dying. But hey, listen, now he won't pet, so she wrote a big tale before the daylight shines. But the thoughts and prayers
of a million strong
might keep this fool from dying. So mention in the bar with every scar, but a thousand bigger men.
Hey, hey, hey!
Every fight and loses, got all the bruises, no some of these that win. This Irish fool's got a big, big heart, he keeps climbing back into the ring.
Hey, hey, hey!
The low-down circles where he holds his court, this man who once was king. But hey, listen, no, he won't dead, so she wrote a being dead before the daylight time. Cause the thoughts and prayers
of a million strong
might keep this fool from dying. But hey, listen, no, he won't dead, so she wrote a being dead before the daylight time. Cause the thoughts and prayers
of a million strong
might keep this fool from dying.
This one goes out to the Boston Punch and Skins. A rowdy bunch they are. This one goes out to everyone at 656 Adams Street. How you doing, fellas? This one goes out to Connie Gibbons, Arthur McGilvey, and Jimmy Molden, barroom heroes who are no longer with us. And last but not least, this one goes out to Billy Taylor, Walter Glavin, for showing the other guys they don't have to wind up on the barroom floor ever again.
It's a nation in the bar with every scar, but a thousand better men.
Hey, hey, hey!
Fights and losers got all the bruises. Will someone please step in? The Irish fool's got a bed big that he keeps driving back into the ring.
Hey, hey, hey!
The low-down circles where he holds his court, this man he once was king. And he doesn't know he won't get some shame on a big tear before the daylight shine. Let the thoughts and prayers
of a million strong
might keep this fool from dying.
But hey, listen, now we won't let soul shape on a page ever for the daylight shine.
Got the thoughts and prayers
of a million strong
might keep this fool from dying.
Lepo pozdravljeni poslušalci Radija Študent. Intervju Radija Študent poslušate seveda, s kabina sem tukaj pri mikrofonu, z mano pa je Ken Casey, eden izmed frontmenov in pa basist benda, ki smo ga vsi zelo, zelo dolgo čakali, da je prišel v Slovenijo. Govorim seveda o Dropkick Murphys. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how you doing? Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are very glad you were coming because, honestly, I was starting to believe that Dropkick Murphys will never come to Slovenia because on every tour we were waiting, will they come, will they come?
Oh, 16 years is too long. I don't know why we haven't come, but...
So we had to travel to Vienna and Munich if we wanted to see you, but you are finally,
finally here.
So,
thanks for waiting.
Yeah, it was like ages. So tell me about the band for the listeners who are not so familiar with the band. You started 16 years ago as a punk band.
Yeah.
When did Celtic music came by or interfere with?
Yeah, interfere, that's a good word. I mean, I think, you know, we're from Boston, Massachusetts, and, you know, I think like Irish music was very prevalent in my upbringing and even
but you didn't like it.
Well, I just thought it was like my grandparents' music, you know, because I, as a young kid, it was just anything your parents or grandparents like, you don't like, you know. And but as I got into my teens, I already knew all the songs and everything. It just it just seemed like a nice thing to combine with punk rock, you know. I mean, we didn't have the instrumentation right away as a four-piece to play the Celtic music with the punk. But if you even listen to the first song that you guys are just playing, Barroom Hero, I think like some of the vocal deliveries and the lyrics have a lot of similarities, you know. And as the band went on, we grew from four people to seven. I don't know how that happened, but along the way we found some kids that, you know, on the records we had a lot of, you know, friends who maybe were policemen or firemen and they played the bagpipes, but they couldn't travel with us, you know. And eventually we found, you know, people to travel with us. And a lot of, ironically, a lot of the guys that joined the band got into the bagpipes and things like that by hearing it on our first record. Mm-hmm. And they taught themselves to play, and then maybe 2 years later they were in the band, you know. So it's kind of an interesting way to start. But I think Celtic music and punk rock, they go together very nice, you know. Both can be like rebellious forms mm-hmm. of music. Both can be party, you know, celebratory kind of music. So yeah, I think they go nice together.
Yeah. So what did your parents say when did you mix Celtic and punk rock?
Oh, they knew.
Did they like it? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, I didn't start the band till I was 25 years old,
okay.
And I've been listening to a lot of, you know, I'd probably started to enjoy Irish music when I was 13, maybe, you know, probably when I started to drink beer, I guess. And yes, I mean, it's good because we can play music and have, you know, even grandparents or parents kind of like what we do, whereas maybe if we were just a punk rock band, you know, we might not have the approval of, you know, grandparents and stuff. But like, for instance, when we play in Boston, you know, I might have, you know, my children, my mother, my grandmother, you know, like generations of people in my life at the show. And I think because it's a very inclusive type of music that many ages can relate to, you know.
Yes. So the beginnings were tough. I mean, like getting into stages, it was hard for you to get concerts or?
Well, we booked everything ourselves. It was very underground, you know, and we traveled around in this crappy old vehicle for many years, and you know, but that's how every band should have to start and pay their dues and learn from the ground up. We're very fortunate because in Boston at the time in 1996 when we started, 96-97, the punk scene was so huge in Boston that we didn't even have a CD out yet, and we were already drawing 500 or 600 kids, and so were a lot of other bands. So every other band from around the United States wanted to come play in Boston. So we would book little festivals and, you know, maybe Dropkick Murphys would play on the Saturday, and we'd have seven different bands to play with us from Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and all those bands would owe us a show. And they'd go back to their city, and maybe the punk scene wasn't as good, but they were so impressed with Boston that it didn't matter if they had to drag, you know, the dog and neighbors and grandparents. They were going to make sure the show was full, you know, because they wanted their punk scene to seem as good as Boston's. And so I give a lot of credit to, like, how good Boston was for a punk scene, because it gave us the ability to, you know, bring all these bands to Boston and then have them bring us to their cities, you know.
Yeah, this your connection with the city is some kind of phenomenon. Because I don't know all the bands and wasn't at every concert, but the connection you have, I was there for St. Patrick's Day once, mm-hmm. and the connection between the band and the people, that was amazing. I never saw something like this. It's like you are grown together, they really support you, they really love you, and it's amazing to see that, that the city supports one band like this.
I think it's because we all have, like, you know, the roots there and family, and I mean, we could probably fill half the clubs just on friends and family alone.
But,
you know,
it's a lot of other bands who also have roots somewhere, but they don't do so much for the city, and city doesn't do so much for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do a lot of charity stuff, so it's a lot of goodwill. We've been good to people in Boston, and they're good back to us, and of course, you know, we've been involved with some of the sports teams, and that kind of cements your how people think of you. And I think a lot of ways what we are and what we stand for and who we are, it kind of represents what a lot of people from Boston are like, so they can identify with us as people. They can identify with the music. So I guess we would be a good band to represent the city. I mean, we can't represent everybody, but, you know.
So you mentioned sports team, like you're very connected to Red Sox, to Bruins, Celtics. What about Patriots? Not so much.
No, I mean, I like Patriots, but football, American football to me was always like not so hand in hand with punk rock. It was all the bully jock kind of, you know what I mean? I just never was a big football fan, like as a kid. And I watch football, but American football, but
but the baseball is...
Yeah, baseball and hockey is more of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's I read somewhere that you said that Dropkick Murphys wants to be like Celtic AC/DC. Do you think that after 16 years you achieved that?
We're getting there. We got a lot more years to go. Yeah. But when I said...
What actually did you mean with
what
this?
What I meant by that is I don't... AC/DC is a proof that bands don't necessarily have to change. Sometimes you feel pressure, you know, to say, what are you going to do different now? And I mean, we already get to play a lot of different styles of music. We have hardcore songs, we have ballads, but all my favorite bands broke my heart when I was a kid. Like every Boston hardcore band that was great in the early 80s turned into a heavy metal band, you know? And like, you don't want to let your fans down. So I guess that's what I meant by AC/DC. Like, we want to stay the same. We want to stay true to what we are, you know?
There's also one phenomenon, I think, about Dropkick Murphys, that you're the band who did most for Celtic punk, for popularity of Celtic punk, because there were bands before, we had Pogues, other bands, but there wasn't such euphoria that started with you. Why do you think is that?
I think we just toured so long and we went everywhere and played the music, you know, and we stayed around long enough, you know, and I think if you stay around and you work hard, then it's going to become something else. And then you have bands like Flogging Molly and other bands that, you know, it takes more than one band to make something big, you know, because you can't be there all the time. You
don't think that it helped, they were becoming bigger because already you were...
But we probably wouldn't have been bigger if it wasn't for the Pogues. So, you know what I mean?
The people liked Pogues, but there wasn't such a euphoria about them.
Yeah, I think it was a different with the Pogues.
Because the Dropkick Murphys are listened to by the people who actually doesn't like punk in general, but they like Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah.
Probably because of this Celtic mood.
Yeah, I think we also have like a variety too, because like, maybe someone comes to the concert and they don't like Celtic music, but they like punk rock, or they like hardcore, or they like rock and roll. We have a little bit of everything, so maybe it makes more people happy because there's a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah. You recorded 7 albums until now.
Yep.
And the last 3, it was on your own record label, which is like vanity label of Warner Bros. What did it change for you when you left, like Hellcat? Did it change something, or is it just that you can decide about what you want to do more now?
Yeah, well, when we started, in the very early days, we had our own record label called Flat Records, and we did our own 7-inches and stuff. And then we went to Epitaph, and that was good, but they're in California, and I never felt like they got us. They didn't understand like the East Coast mindset, you know, and
it's always like East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah. So, and they didn't, I have nothing bad to say about Epitaph, but there's nothing worse than a band who blames their label for not doing a good job, and we never wanted to be that band. So we said, if you want to do it right, you got to do it yourself, you know. So we wanted to just control our own destiny, you know.
And now it's easier because Warner Bros. Is like major record label.
We don't deal with No. We're distributed by Warner Brothers. That we are not on a major label. That would be an opposite move from leaving. We went to be able to control.
So you have your own label, and they just distribute.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought that it's like Hellcat and Epitaph.
No.
Stuff. So how much do you personally deal with releasing your records and all the stuff? Do you have time for that, apart from all these
No, I don't have time, but somehow I still am involved in it. Yeah, I mean, we have a team, you know, that does a lot of the stuff, but I mean, right down to everything from, you know, marketing plans, the artwork, to how we're going to, you know, what the campaign is going to be of how and when we release the album, to distribution decisions. Yeah, I mean, it all comes back to the band, which is how it should be for every band, you know? I mean, I'm sure there's bands that want nothing to do with it, but I like to know what's going on, and this is our life. This is what we do. I don't want to just make music and give it to some guy in a suit and say, here you go. Hope you do a good job, you know?
I have a feeling a lot of times that people just listen to the music and don't care about the lyrics so much, but not at your concerts. I think it's more people who know the lyrics, who sing from their heart, and who feel like with what you write. So also when the lyrics are like imaginary, why do you think it's like it's written from you, but it sounds it's written for the people on their skin?
Well, I always think that when you're writing a song about your own experiences, you still want to make it so that it's broad enough that people can take it and adapt it to their own circumstances, you know. But I mean, I love the fact that people like and get into our lyrics. I mean, that's, you know, what I'm most proud of with the band is, you know, and I think that goes back to a lot of the Irish music roots of like storytelling in your songs, you know. And you know, it's like reading a book, you know. You're listening to a song and the lyrics, but it's taking you someplace else. It's making you think you're there, you know. And you know, maybe that's why a lot of people come to Boston to see us, because they hear the songs and they say, I want to go there, you know. So but that's cool. I really like that people would think of our lyrics in that positive way, and it gives it more depth, you know what I mean, that people hits them more in the heart, I guess.
Did anybody ever told you that you changed their lives with that? Because they were listening to
Yeah, a lot of people have lyrics tattooed on their bodies and stuff, and that's awesome.
It's amazing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, when you write lyrics, it's like, how do you get inspiration? It's like something happens to you in day life, and you write about it, you read about something.
I just always kind of.
How did you write going out in style? Because it's like.
That was very complicated. I had just been to a series of wakes. I don't know what you call them here. You know, mm-hmm. when someone dies mm-hmm. and you go and a bunch of them were very sad. People dying at a young age, very very sad, and then. I had gone to one wake right after that. It was an old gentleman that had lived a very full life, and it was such a happy, happy occasion, you know. And we've had several songs. One you played earlier, "Curse of a Fallen Soul," that kind of like memorializing friends of ours that died young in like tragic situations. And this wake that I went to, that was an older man. It was more like celebrating his life instead of mourning his death. And I was like, that's a story that needs to be told. And then, so I wrote the song based around that mentality of like the ultimate celebration, you know, when all your people come to say that final goodbye, but in a happy way, not in a sad way. And then it made me start to think, what about telling the story of the whole person's life, you know, instead of just the story of what happened at the wake? And that's what led to the whole album going out in style, being every song being revolved around the title track, you know, which then led to, you know, a story by an author. And once again, I think that that goes back to the roots of Irish music, where literature influenced music, music influenced literature.
So how does the music process go in Dropkick Murphys? How the songs are?
It's about half and half, where like maybe I have lyrics in a melody and I come in and sing them, or we work on some music, and then that maybe inspires myself and Al to like take the music home, and maybe if you know, write something based from that. It's about half and half, but we all get in the room together and just kind of keep smashing our heads against the wall till we, you know, I mean, we're a 7-piece band, and, you know, writing together is
complicated.
It's complicated, but it's good because you get
so many
ideas.
I
think it gives it a lot of different flavor, you know.
So we said you recorded 7 albums. Did you record 8 one?
Yeah, we did. We're still finishing. We just were playing some of them at soundcheck tonight and today, and we go back and finish like the rest of the vocals and stuff.
How come it's such a short gap between last one and this one? Because usually you have bigger gaps.
Yeah, we were when we were writing Going Out in Style, we just like got on a roll, and like we didn't even want to stop. We wanted to keep writing, so we were very anxious to write more, and that's good, you know, that we still want to write songs, yeah.
And are we going to hear some of the songs today, or you are not playing them yet?
Maybe. The only reason I think maybe not is because we've waited so long to come to Slovenia to then
you think people
come
are
and
waiting
play
for
new songs that they don't know. I think, like there's a lot of songs in places like old songs like Barroom Hero that we haven't been playing because we've played it every time we've gone there for 16 years. But I think tonight we'll want to put back in a lot of old songs because we haven't played here ever. So,
Can you tell me something about the support group? Where did you met them?
Yeah,
them?
They're from Massachusetts, and they're called the Parkington Sisters, and they play strings and, you know, violin and stuff, and when we play in support of us, so they also are their own band, and it's not very typical, I guess, of Dropkick Murphys in the sense that, you know, it's not very punk rock, but they're so good. They're like the greatest songwriters, and the melodies and the harmonies are really good, and they, you know, they make us sound a lot better. It's really a good collaboration when we play together, and you know, they win all our fans over in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And because you can't resist good music, you know. So yeah, it'd be great to see them. This is the first show tonight where they get to play their own show, because we've been on a lot of festivals and they've just been playing with us, so this is their first show of the tour. So get there early and support a great band.
This is a young band, or it's like sisters?
They're four sisters, yeah. They're everything from you know, mid-20s to early 30s, you know.
So we hope that people come and see them, because
please do, yes.
Slovenian people like to neglect support groups.
Yeah, they like to drink beer outside.
Yeah,
I know. The same way. It's the same way everywhere.
Yeah. So
come in, I'll buy you a beer.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have to finish because you have a dinner to catch.
Okay.
So
I won't argue with dinner.
Thank you for coming, I wish you a very good
Thank
concert
you. It's great to finally be here.
Yeah. Okay. We will listen. Slišali še kakšno pesem, pa to so bili torej Dropkick Murphys, King Casey, basist in pa eden izmed frontmenov. S kabina sem se pogovarjala z njim, pa se oglasite danes na koncertu, ker bo zelo, zelo veselo. Preverjeno. Čau!
Yeah. Interview Radija Student.